Good morning. It's good to be back at Mount Zion this morning. It's seems like it's been a little while. I've been a little bit of everywhere in the past week and a half. I've been to Texas, I've been to Louisville, I've been to Indiana, so it's good to finally be back home at Mount Zion today. Summer's kicked off, our kids are out of school. There's some stuff coming up this week for our young people. Wanted to remind you all about our Summer Youth Series that kicks off tomorrow night. Mount Pleasant Church of Christ will be hosting that at 7 o'clock. I'll be attending that. Hopefully some of our young people will be able to participate. TNT, Thursday Night Together, that's a new thing we're starting this year. That's going to take place this Thursday night at the Richardsville Park, and we're going to be playing Ultimate Frisbee on Thursday night if some of our kids want to come out for that. We also have a youth devo coming up Saturday here at the church building. That'll be from 5 to 9:30, and hopefully our kids can come out for that. And then Sunday starts church camp, so busy first week of summer for sure for our young people. David, he's been out. He was out last Sunday. Jerry filled in, and I heard great things about Jerry's lesson. And this week, David's at Asphalt Church of Christ conducting a meeting, and he'll be there through Wednesday. We've made plans to dismiss this Wednesday night, and some of us are going to go over there and join that congregation. So hopefully some of you all can join us in that. And I think we're going to eat at Laura's Hilltop Restaurant before that on Wednesday night. I hated that I missed Connor speak last Sunday night. I heard awesome things about your lesson, so really proud of you, and look forward to watching the video. I've not watched it yet, but I'm sure it's great. Last Sunday, I was at the Kentucky Bankers Association Banking School. It was my second year. It's a two-year program, and I completed my second year and graduated. So that started Sunday in Louisville, so I had to drive up early, and I actually worshiped with the Waterston Trail Church of Christ. They're a church of about 95. I think they had a little bit over 100 Sunday. They were very welcoming. A lot of people found out all about me. Really nice. As soon as I sat down, this lady turned around and she pointed at me. She's like, "Are you the person that's coming from Murray today?" And I was like, "No, that's not me." But she was really nice. She talked to me. I talked to their youth minister. They do the same thing that we do on Fifth Sundays. They let the young people conduct the services, but they do both services on Fifth Sunday. But one thing I noticed about their congregation, for their size, they were larger than us, but they actually had less young people. They didn't have as many kids participating in the worship service as we actually do. So as a youth minister, that's one of my main focuses here at this church. I want to bridge the gap between our young people and our old people. We have a good number of young people at this congregation for our size, but what we're seeing in a lot of churches, once kids reach high school or after they graduate, they're jumping out of the church. They're going out into the world, or they're being drawn to the churches that are more contemporary, the community churches. So one of my goals is to help bridge that gap. And another issue that we're seeing in the Church of Christ, people that are in my generation, they're missing. Brittany and Josh, Brett, Jeremy, our ages, a lot of these churches, they don't have people our ages. And that's one of the things that I noticed at Waterston Trail this past Sunday. So what we're going to be talking about this morning, I'm sure a lot of you all have heard of the TV show Extreme Makeover. I think they have a home edition. And if you're not aware, I'm not even sure if this show airs anymore, but the concept behind this TV show, they select a family. And usually this family is enduring some sort of hardship. And what they do is they come in, they tell this family they've been selected, and they tell the family to pack their bags, and they go on vacation for like a week or two. And while they're gone, they tear down the family's old house, and while they're on vacation, they build them a completely new house. And when they come back, these houses are really nice. They're quite extravagant if you've ever watched the TV show. So with that thought, I'm convinced that in the church today, we're in need of an extreme makeover. But I think we're in need of an extreme makeover spiritual home edition. And as we go through these points today, I don't want you all to think I'm pointing the finger. I include myself in this, so we've got some points to discuss this morning. where we're at as a country. We talk about this all the time. It's taught from this pulpit. As a country, we see the fabric of our society. It's unraveling. It's tearing. We look around. We see morals on decline. We see people making decisions that are not good. They go against God. And we're aware of that. We're talking about it. Constantly, prayers are being offered here for this country to get back on track. And we're talking about it a lot. So we recognize that we have a problem. But one fact that I wanted to remind us about, Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 1:10, there's nothing new under the sun. There's always been evil in the world. There will always be evil in the world. If you read through the Old Testament, there's some pretty crazy things that happened in the Old Testament. And you can tell that there was a lot of evil, even back in those days. So we're aware that there's evil in the world, but there's always been evil. And this was actually a quote from Socrates. He was a philosopher long, long time ago. You can see the date on this. It's 500 BC. And this is something he said about the society back then. And it kind of rings a bell about how things are today as well. It says, "Today's youth love luxury and have bad manners. They hold authority in contempt. They no longer stand up when an adult enters the room. They talk back to parents and contradict them. They talk too much in the presence of company. They talk nonsense instead of working. They put themselves all over the furniture and they guzzle their food." So that was an actual quote from Socrates back in 500 BC. And some of these things still hold true today. Many of our moral and social ills that we talk about today, they can be attributed to the home. Or a breakdown in the home. We've got crime, we've got drug abuse, there's lack of respect for authority, divorce is on the increase in this country. So a lot of these things that we're experiencing, I think, tie back to a breakdown in the home. That's what we're seeing. But I want us to be reminded of the fact that God is true to help reverse the course. We recognize this problem, but we've always got to realize that God's going to be there to help us fix it. But the problem is that we've got to want and we've got to vow to fix this problem that we're seeing in this country. We can't just talk about it. We've got to get on board. We've got to want to fix it. So some of the things I want to talk about with you all this morning, some of the problems, this list could be longer, but some of the things that I've got on my list, some of the problems that we're seeing we need a makeover for spiritual instruction in the home. Our thoughts on media needs to be made over. Our thoughts on parenting, and our thoughts on how our children act, I think, are some of the things that we need to think about and consider this morning. First one, spiritual instruction in the home. We are living in a country where a lot of kids are biblically ignorant. And I don't mean to say that in a bad way, but kids don't know what the Bible says. Their parents don't really know what the Bible says. And the parents can't teach the kids because they're not totally aware of what the Bible says themselves. So going forward in the future, how are we going to be able to talk to people about Jesus if we don't even know what the Bible has to say about Jesus? Another thing, the Bible class of the church, which is supposed to be a supplement to the religious instruction of children, has become the sole instrument in instructing our children. The Bible classes that we offer at this congregation, they're good. We offer two a week on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But if that's all you're relying on to raise your kids in the ways of the Bible, it's not going to be enough. We've got 45-minute classes two times a week. And it's not going to be enough to teach your kids everything they need to know about Jesus. There has to be instruction in the home as well. The classes that we have here are more of supplements to what needs to be going on in the home. We've got to be talking about Jesus and the Bible in our homes. This is a quote that I found that I thought was pretty appropriate. It says, "If we don't teach our children who God is, someone else will teach them everything He's not." If we're not doing that in our homes, we're not instructing our kids in the ways of spiritual matters, we're not telling them who God is, His character, what He's about, the world will tell you everything that God's not. We see that. You can watch the news, and they'll tell you what they think about God. So we've got to be teaching our kids. I wanted to compare our thoughts, or I wanted you all to think about the emphasis that we put on our kids' education, and then the emphasis that we put on their spiritual growth, what they know about God's Word. Kids, they spend, 5 to 7 hours at school every day? And if that's not enough, kids, do you all get sent home with homework? So you've got homework going home to work on in the evenings. So I want you to think about that. How much time is put in on schoolwork, and then how much time is put in on spiritual matters, raising your kids in the ways of the Bible? I think we need to reverse our emphasis. We put a lot of emphasis on raising our kids, making sure they're smart, making sure their education is good. But speaking for myself, I would rather have my kid very knowledgeable about God's Word, growing up, having a loving relationship with Jesus, than being the smartest kid in class. I think that's more important, and that will help your kid in the long run than being a genius. Kids, I'm not telling you to be slack in your work. Try your hardest to do your best, but the important thing is that you know Jesus and you have a relationship with Him. Everything else is minor compared to that. Some of the things I want us to think about. As a family, how often are we reading the Word together as a family? How often are we talking about our spiritual condition? How often are we taking time as a family to pray together? How often are we being focused upon Jesus Christ, our Savior? So those are some things as a family we need to sit down and we need to consider. When we have time as a family, free time, do these things come into play? And I think those are important things that's going to help us to have a makeover in the home, spiritual makeovers, if we practice these things. One of the things that we're doing here at this church to hopefully help improve this, we started a new ministry called Our Daily Bread. And what this is an opportunity for your family to sit down once a day for a very small amount of time. And what you do is we're reading through the book of Matthew this summer as a family. And you read the Bible together. You discuss it. You take some time to discuss about where you are spiritually. And also, you, as a family, you take prayer requests. You ask your family if there's anything they want to pray for. And one member of that family leads the family in prayer. And I think that's something good that's going to help us become more spiritual in our homes. We see in the Old Testament, if you read through there, God's constantly reminded them not to forget the law, to practice the things of the law of Moses. And this is a scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want you all to see, especially the things that are in yellow, some of the things that He didn't want the children of Israel to forget. It says, starting in verse 4, again, this is chapter 6. He says, "Listen, people of Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is the only God. You must love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Always remember these commands that I give you today. Be sure to teach them to your children. Talk about these commands when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your foreheads to help you remember my teachings. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." All right, so God is telling the children of Israel how important His law is. He wants them to be sure to teach those things to their children. Same thing about Jesus today. Be sure to teach your kids about Jesus. He tells them to talk about these things when they sit in their house, when they're traveling, when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed at night. Talk about these things. He also wants them to write them on their doorposts, write them on the gates. We see a lot of that happening in our culture today. You see a lot of Bible verses being wrote on people's walls in their homes and stuff, and that's a good thing. We want to be constantly reminded of what God's Word tells us to do. Another thing that I think we are in need of a makeover in our culture is our media. When I say media, I'm saying like TV, internet, social media, things of that nature. We all sing that little song growing up, "Oh, be careful, little eye, what you see." We're aware of that. And our eyes do need to be careful about what we're seeing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, it says, "The only source of light for the body is the eye." What you see, whether you realize it or not, is going to impact how you live. If you're seeing a lot of bad things on TV, you're seeing a lot of bad things on social media, or even your ears are hearing bad things in music, all that stuff's going inside of you. And it has the potential to impact what's coming out of you, how you live. So be careful what your eyes are seeing. TV, I don't watch a lot of TV, but being in a hotel room this past week at banking school, I was reminded of how much garbage is on TV this past week. It's bad. And the sad thing is we've become so desensitized to evil. We watch these TV shows. They have the nudity. They have the fornication. They have the adultery. They have the drug abuse. And Christians are watching these movies. And we've become desensitized to that evil. And we need to think about what we're watching. We also need to think about what we're calling good. I know people that'll watch different things and has things that go against God's word, and they'll say that's a good thing. So we need to think about what we call good and what we call bad. In Isaiah 5:20, God warned the children of Israel about these things. It says, "Look at those people. They say good is bad and bad is good. They think light is dark and dark is light. They think sour is sweet and sweet is sour." So the children of Israel back in those days were also confused about what to call bad, what to call good. And I think we're seeing that in our culture today as well. Be leery of the things that you call good and the things that you call bad. Don't be calling the bad things good. As a culture, we need to supervise or regulate what's being watched in our homes. Otherwise, we need to accept the fact that the things that our kids are seeing, if we're not going to regulate what's being watched on TV, kids are going to see those values, and eventually those values are going to rub off on them. We need to be aware of that as a church. Another form of media, the internet. People are suffering from pornography addictions in this culture. That's on the rise big time. And it's at this point, if somebody in this congregation is suffering from that, we're not here to condemn you. We're here to help you work through that. And you need accountability if you are struggling with that. And a lot of people are. So that's something that needs a makeover in our culture, what we view on the internet. Social media, we need to rethink what we're liking and sharing on social media. Social media is not a bad thing. It can be used in a good way. It can be used to show your love for Christ versus negativity and rants. A lot of things on social media, you see people sharing things, liking things, and they're not godly things. So as a culture, we need to be aware of what we're liking and what we're sharing on social media. Also, go as far as our music. I know kids growing up in middle school, high school, the music changes. The cool music changes. So we need to think about what we're singing, what we're hearing. A lot of the songs that are cool when your kids are in middle school and high school, if you listen to the lyrics, they're not good lyrics. We need to think about what our kids are listening to. I encourage our kids to sing church songs. That may sound silly. Brett, Brittany, and Josh, they know that we sing a lot of church songs. If we go on a road trip, we'll sing in the car. Replace the popular music with the church songs. The songs that we sing at church, they have good messages. They have spiritual messages. Next thing, I'm convinced that our culture needs a parenting makeover. In 1 Timothy 5:14 and Ephesians 6:4, parents are told to train and discipline your kids. Parents, I can't speak for this, but I can tell you what God's Word is saying. You've got to train your kids, bring them up in the ways of the Lord. That's your duty. And at the same time, you're also called to discipline your kids. That's one of your jobs. And I know maybe discipline may not be a fun thing, but we see a lot of parents in this culture today that they're not disciplining their kids. And that's not benefiting the parent or the child. God instructs you to discipline your kids. Also, parents, they've got to be a part of their lives. We see a lot of parents that are absent. They're not having an impact in the child's life. We need to avoid pursuing certain lifestyle standards of living. There's so many parents that are hung up on pursuing a certain lifestyle, making the most money that they can, working a job that has a lot of overtime, and they're forgetting their kids at home. So many kids, when they get off the school bus at the end of the day, their parents aren't even home. That's happening a lot in our culture. And there's nobody there to train or discipline them while they're home by themselves. We need to be reminded of this fact. The world will raise the children of absentee parents or guardians. If parents or guardians are not going to be there for their kid, you can trust that the world will teach them how they need to live. And that's a scary thing. We don't want our kids growing up living based upon how the world tells them to live. Parents, something we all need to be reminded about, how to help your children deal with adverse influences. We need to be aware of what's out there. And as a parent, as a guardian, that's our duty to be aware of what is out there in our culture. We need to be there for our kids when we need to be strong for our kids when they're weak. A lot of kids are dealing with peer pressures. They're dealing with things at school that you didn't even have to deal with when you were in school. So we need to be there for our kids when they're weak. Above all, we need to set an example for them. We're told that in Matthew 5:16, Galatians 2:20. Parents, set an example for your kids. And another thing that we're sometimes guilty of in this culture, we like to blame our kids for all the things that are going wrong. And I think that's a huge mistake. It's not our kids' fault that we're seeing morals deteriorate in this country. I've got this poem that I'm going to read. It's from, I'm not really sure who the author is. I think it may just be an unknown author. But I think it's pretty true to us today. It says, we read it in the papers and hear it on the air of killing and stealing and crime everywhere. We sigh and we say, as we notice the trend, this young generation, where will it end? But can we be sure that it's their fault alone? Are we less guilty who pace in their way? Too many things that lead them astray. Too much money, too much idle time. Too many movies of passion and crime. Too many books not fit to be read. Too much evil in what they hear said. Too many children encouraged to roam. Too many parents who don't stay home. Kids don't make the movies. They don't write the books. They don't paint the pictures of gangsters and crooks. They don't make the liquor. They don't run the bars. They don't change the laws. They don't make the cars. They don't make the drugs that muddle the brain. That's all done by older folks, eager for gain. Delinquent teenagers, oh, how we condemn the sins of the nation and blame it on them. Instead of placing blame, let's fix the cause. And remember as we pause that in so many cases, it's sad but it's true, the title delinquent fits older folks too. So we need to be careful and not blame the things that are going wrong in this country on our kids. As parents, as older people, we can be held responsible for some of the things that are going wrong as well. But something that's important from this point, let's not place blame on why we're where we're at. Let's all unite together to fix what's going wrong. That's what I want to get across today. Don't just talk about it. Let's fix what's going wrong. Last thing that I think needs to make over in our culture today is children. Kids, I want to encourage you to be cautious about your friendships. 1 Corinthians 5:33 says, don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Be careful who your friends are. Kids, middle school, high school, be careful who you hang out with. You want to hang out with good Christian friends. You don't want to get hung up in that bad crowd. You may think, I'm not going to do the things that they're going to do, but they'll rub off on you. It's a fact. I'm not saying that you don't reach out to people that have bad habits. Of course, we want to evangelize. We want to tell people like that about Jesus. But don't be hung up on being their friend or fitting in because they're cool. Seek friends that are trying to live for Christ. Also, children, this is a major thing in our culture. You need to be obedient to your parents. Too many kids in this generation aren't. Their parents ask them to do something, they smart back. They don't do it. That's not how God expects children to behave in front of their parents. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do." Kids, if you're Christians, if you've made that decision, your duty is to obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. You're instructed to do that. Of course, obey them if they're trying to teach you to do the things of God. If they're trying to make you do bad things, then you have an excuse not to obey them. But if they're trying to lead you in the ways of Christ, obey them. Getting close to wrapping up here. Gabe read to us our scripture reading, and I want to highlight verses 15 through 18 on that. As we all see declining morals and evil around us, consider this. Verse 15, "My son, don't follow them. Don't even take the first step along that path. They turn to do something evil, but they cannot wait to kill someone. You cannot trap birds with a net if they see you spreading it out. But evil people cannot see the trap they set for themselves." As the church, we look around, we see this evil, we see our country on a decline. I want to encourage us not to follow them. In verse 15, don't even take the first step. It's a dangerous step. Don't get caught up in the evil of this world. In verse 18, the people that are trying to live evil, they can't see the trap they're setting for themselves. So wrapping up here, the American family is not very well today. We're suffering from several different infections, but there's an antidote. There's a cure to this infection that we have. We need a healthy dose of commitment to God's Word, and we're assured through God's Word that the great physician, he can help us recover from this problem, but we've got to want to fix it. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." God will heal our country, but we've got to want to fix it. We've got to want to do the right things. We can't just talk about it. We can't just be a part of talking about the problem. We've got to want to fix it. So again, I'm convinced that in our culture, this list could be longer, but we're in need of a spiritual makeover in these areas. Spiritual instruction in the home, media, parenting, and our children. And again, the list could be longer. So as you can see, this house here doesn't look like it's in very, very good shape. But this house is in need of a makeover. And it may be that you're here this morning and you've never become a Christian. And if that's the case for you today, you need a makeover. You need Jesus Christ's blood to make you clean. That's what's going to give you that makeover, Jesus' blood. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, this congregation urges you to come forward and express your faith in Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Also, as we offer this invitation this morning, if you need to come forward for prayer, or there's something you're struggling with, or you realize that maybe you've been a part of the problem and how our country is deteriorating, and you want to resolve today to do better, I encourage you to come forward. Or if you just want to come forward this morning to say, you know, I'm tired of talking about the problem, I want to fix it, I'd also encourage you to come forward this day. I think it'd be a great thing if we had people come forward saying that they want to fix the problem. They don't just want to talk about the problem. But as we sing this song, I hope you will come forward and invite everybody to sing as Connor leads us in the song.